about your daily Torah and Marish and Dalet Tamuz Tavshin Pei Dalet Rabbi Yossi Mo.
Right, morning, everybody. Apologies, a bit late. You often forget when the Das Pilari, Wednesday mornings is Das Pilari. So when you get stuck behind them, they manage to know exactly when school starts and when the shul starts. But Baruch Hashem, you can't complain, otherwise it'll be every 4 weeks instead of every 3 weeks. Baruch Hashem, we had a very successful campaign for the Eruv. Having said that, we just have to mention a couple of points regarding Eruv. Yes, there's people that want to rely on the Eruv, but you've got over here a situation where Shabbos afternoon, I was in a park, and you can see someone coming along with a bag full of challah remains, and shikala shirayim for the challah, with the ganze mishpocha, and feeding the ducks on Shabbos afternoon, which, yes, regarding Eruv might be okay, but when it comes to the issa of feeding animal, a stray animal on Shabbos, it's quite clear that if you own an animal which the animal depends on you, then you're allowed to feed it, and not only that, you have to feed it. Moshal, Be'etzim is quite a liability. People who have pets, they have fish, or they have rabbits, or dogs, whatever it is that they have, if they come home after a long Shabbos morning, after a long keser in shul, a keser, it doesn't work keser, if you come back from a long shul davening, and you come home and you're quite hungry, and you start the meal without feeding the animals, that's an issue. V'shtei posuk, we learn it from a posuk. V'nasati eisim v'sadcha levemtecha. Levemtecha, referring to the behemoths, not children. Levemtecha, v'ochalta v'savata, referring to afters you can eat. Actually, drinking doesn't apply. The right is from Rivka Yemenu. Rivka said to Eliezer, I will give you to drink. V'gam ligmalecha ashke, I'll also give you a camel. So the Chayodim frecked what happened to the Issa of feeding the animals first. He says that's only referring to feeding. Drinking, Ashker, regarding drink, there's no issa for care, the person comes before that. But either way, sorry? Oh, but it seems that this, hang on a second, you're saying it's not her animals. So perhaps, regarding himself, then there's an issa to give to the animals, to give himself first. But regarding someone else, you're suggesting that, I've never thought of that before. It's interesting. No, again, the Chai Odom is the one who brings this Rivka Yemenu, and he says that you see that Mashkeh, but you give me some homework. Yes, so that's a nice thing.
Once she gave the water to him,
that could be. But the Maisi, he's a good diuk. He's got the Maisi, the Pasuk state, the Rivka Yemenu, there's no right from there. Rivka Yemenu is talking about that I will give you. That's a good, it's a shame to do. Let me look into that. Oh, but as I say, it's brought down in the halacha, there's a chilek between oichel and Mashkeh. And myself, when you get to feeding, so that's when you get to feeding a stray animal, that's definitely an issue. Your own animal, that's fine. Someone had a shiloh, he's got fish, and a beautiful fish, and the neighbor likes to, Shabbos afternoon, also likes to chip in and feed the fish as well. You know, the person who owns the fish already is used to it, it's quite a bother, and the neighbor is quite exciting, you know, feed the fish. Look at, can the neighbor, interestingly enough, the person say that, as long as it belongs to a yid, then another yid can also feed it. So it's an interesting kula that you find Bialocha speaks about. So it's very interesting the kula that a person can get away with.
So, every day.
Sorry?
Fish
sure, so only when it needs feeding, that's when that's yeah. The other point is, yes, there's the Eruv, but you've got to also bear in mind a lot of people go to eat out into another place, and the children often want to, they can't be bothered walking all the way to Prestwich or to wherever it is, so they prefer to take some sort of form of transportation, either a scooter or a bike. So when it comes to bikes, although there's a tshuva from Rav Polim, the Ben Ish Chai from Baghdad, he's got a tshuva to say there's no issue with bikes. What are you doing when you ride a bike? You're doing chayrush, the reyak, what are you doing? You're riding a bike. What should be the problem? Lemaisa, all the posts can bring down, there's the issues, all various types of issues. I think the one they highlight the most is the Uvda Dachoyl a bit, which all the posts can bring down. Uvda Dachoyl has got a very interesting noise itself. Just to give it a bit of spicing, they bring the Chasam Sefer, who they asked the Chasam Sefer at the time when the trains came out, what's the issue? We're going on a train. I'm not doing any issa when I go on a train. So the Chasam Sefer says, because when you're on a train, you're moving around, and the Ramban says by a sfina, by a boat, when it moves around, there's a bit of a chasha, it's not Shabbos day, and therefore the Chasam Sefer says the same thing when it comes to on a train. So at some place you want to say the same thing when a person's riding on a form of transportation with bikes. Interestingly enough, they're only putting their finger on bikes, a proper normal bike, without the stabilizers, a regular bike. That's where this order d'chol came about. But when it comes to other forms, although, the truth is, it's not so clear. Do you know what's not clear is when it comes to a balancing bike. A lot of children like to have a balancing bike. When they have a balancing bike, it's not included in the same level of this order d'chol. It's quite strictly speaking a regular bike. You know what a major nafkamina is, by the way. Again, so we're saying only a bike, but a scooter. Seems to be much less of a problem. I'm not talking about the electric scooters, right? The electric scooter's got its own problem, you know. But when it comes to a regular scooter, that should be okay on Shabbos. Again, you have to take into account that where you're living, some people might find it offensive on Shabbos the afternoon going on a scooter. That's a separate issue. We're talking about dry halach of Ovdu Dachoyl. What's the issue of a bike? Ovdu Dachoyl. Issue of a scooter, not so clear that there's an issue. If I get Shabbos Kilchose, Rishlim Zaman, they mentioned that there's no major issue with going, you don't have to stop children going on a scooter, but a bike is something which is already registered to have a problem of Ovdu Dachoyl. It's interesting, although you can argue what's the difference bike and a scooter, but it seems that it was only said on a bike. Regarding a scooter or a bike which has got, let's say, stabilizers at the back, the Ben Moshe got Shuvah to say that's okay. That's not included in the regular bike. It's interesting svara. So it's a regular bike. You know what a major nafkamina is? The one job you give your children Friday afternoon is get rid of the bikes from the front garden. You don't want it stolen. You don't want it damaged. You come back Friday night after a long davening, or after a long drosha from the Rav, and you come back and you see what in front of you. You see the bikes and the scooters. Interestingly enough, you want it away from the front because you don't want it to get rain. You don't want the rain to go on it, and you don't want it to get stolen, right? You want to put it behind the bins. So, the question was this? Regarding the bikes, there's a whole story about what the real issa is, because if you're going to say that's a problem, then why are prams not a problem? The bakabus have also got these puncture things, and no one seems to be bothered about the bakabus. Each svara needs analysing. That's what I'm saying. The main reason why they're bothered about bikes is because of the order of the whole bit. That's what I'm saying. Each thing needs its own, because the chain saga is not clear whether you can say make up a new thing. There's other things that might have changed, and we don't find a major issue. It's very hard to put your. When poskim say that it's got a chain, they're referring to chovis shel shayotin and shilam mates. It's referring to making something on Shabbos, and some poskim say you can't really compare things. You know, you can't use something because it might get ruined. I think that the ikken akuda where you find the gedolei poskim are bothered about this is the uvda d'chol bit. Getting back to this halacha lemaisa, Friday night you come home and you see bikes and scooters in the front and you're worried that it's going to get stolen or ruined. Very interesting. To move the scooter in a normal manner, that's fine, because it's not muksa. But a bike, because there's this uvda d'chol, Rav Eliashiv, all the poskim want to take on, that it should in turn make it a kedush melachta le'isa, the bikes. And therefore to move the bikes, l'soich gufa mekoyme, fine. But why are you moving it? So it shouldn't get ruined, so it shouldn't get stolen. Well, that's not a heter when it comes to kedush melachta le'isa. So you'd have to move it in an indirect manner or ask a goy, so it's very uncomfortable. If, let's say, it's right in front of the doorway, and you need the space, or it's right by the front step of your front garden, that's a different story, because you're moving it, let's go for a mekoymo. But once you are clear from that, and it's on the side, but you're just bothered about the gun of kinkam, that's something which needs to be done in a shinoi. I think this is a fundamental aloha, which is very, very easily forgotten about. You come on Friday night, and you've got scooters and bikes. This is a major enough commitment between the two. The scooters, it should be okay. Whereas regarding the bikes, that seems to be a problem, because you're moving it shlele tzorich gufa mekoyme. You're moving it not for the tzorich gufa mekoyme. Can we go on to the next one? There's so much to get through, Kanaina Hora. Are we ready? So, let's go straight into... I want to start with the halachas, a few halachas regarding waking up Shabbos morning. We've got various halachas waking up Shabbos morning. What is negeya? A lot of it is actually negeya to every morning. Let's start off with the first shaila. It just so happens this morning, I spotted one of my children at the bath this morning. They were up early this morning because I had the bath. And I noticed that this is in the bathroom, right? So this is a very nice cup that they like to use. This is a cup that they use to wash the hair. And a lot of times, some people want to use it as a negavasa cup. What's going to sant, can you use this to wash your hands negavasa, or can you use it to wash your hands for before the suda? If you notice, this is a very nice cup you can get from whatever local shop. And over here, it's got a slant. It goes a slant upwards. And therefore, the question is, the top bit of the cup. If you make a straight line, you'll be left with a few centimetres, which goes higher, where the water comes out. And that top bit, the post can say, that's not got a shem keli. It hasn't got a din of a keli. Because haraya, if you stand it up and you pour more water in, the water wouldn't fill up to the top, to these 2 centimetres. It would flow backwards on the out because it's cut on a diagonal. Therefore, it will come out and it won't hold. Therefore, this area isn't got a shem keli. Interestingly enough, when you put it down, you can only fill it up till almost to the top on this side, but lower 2 centimetres. This 2 centimetres wouldn't have a shem keli. And therefore, when you pour the water over the 2 centimetres, which comes higher, that is going through an area which has not got a shem keli. And the person said that's better to avoid. You could use it the other way around. So you can fill it up, and you can wash your hand nigavas of an ahapechu. You can wash nigavas this way. That's the person said, there's no problem doing this way, right? You could do that. But to pour it over here, the Pashan Mishabura, is that it should be a problem of that you're running the water over something which is not a keli, which is very interesting. We'll have to be focused what's got a shem keli, what's not got a shem keli. When it comes to summer holidays, we always like to mention this halacha when a person's stuck without water and you've got a bread and you want to wash for, so people get stuck. What do you do? A very interesting rayon that really a person can take a bottle of water and you can wash directly from the bottle. Obviously, ideally to have a cup and everything, but if a person doesn't have that, Mishabura also mentions that you can wash really from a bottle because the bottle has got a shem keli. This over here is an interesting one. That's the interesting one that sticks out a little. But if you haven't got it, that's even better. Sorry? Well, you can fill it on a tilt. The problem is that if you put it down, it would all fall backwards. Yeah, but the post can say that in order for it to have a shem keli, it'd have to have a shem keli as sitting down. That's what defines a keli. Next, no, good, we've got so much kanonah to get through. You should know in Yonah de Yoma, Shabbos morning, when you wake up, or really any morning, there's really the coffee time. Now, this gets very intense, the coffee. The Pelayoitz writes, for some people you can't talk to in the morning before they have their coffee. So that's what he mentioned, the kudah. You could have a point, but I want to mention over here, on Shabbos morning, we're always faced with the shaila of what is the best way of making a coffee. Everyone gets busy with the koises, not koises. Let me just very briefly mention, we've got over here 2 coffees over here, and obviously you know what's coming. Is this coffee over here, which Rabbi Falk stood here about 6 years ago, was it? He came here and he gave a whole drasha about this coffee. I want to start off with this coffee. Let's leave this aside, and let's take the normal coffee over here. And now I'm just going to go straight to it, and I'll tell you how Rabbi Falk, for decades, he explains what the best way forward to make a coffee is. Let me just tell you exactly what he said. You take 1 cup, you go to the urn, and you fill up with hot water. You get your fingers out of the way. You get the hot water over here, and this is called your klisheni. It's your first cup, which is a klisheni. You then take the klisheni, pour it into a klishlishi. This is your second cup. And once you have your second cup, clean water, afterwards you pour in the contents of the coffee and the sugar. That's how he explained that the best way forward is to do. A lot of people that hang on. Now, I know it's coming, hang on a second. So now, we do know, what's this? Someone who prepares it from before Shabbos, obviously he saved himself from every shaila. At best, obviously, if you prepare everything from before Shabbos, and literally on Shabbos you do nothing, that's obviously the best. But over here, if we have to live on Shabbos, and if you want to prepare coffee on Shabbos, here's the shaila. How's the best way of doing it? The best way of doing it is to get water into 1 cup, pour into another cup. You got now water in your kli shlishi, which is your second cup, your kli shlishi, because the first one was the urn, the second one was your second cup, and then this is your kli shlishi. After you have water in your kli shlishi, you pour your contents in. Now, a lot of people will say, hang on a second, why do you do that way around? Why can't you just take your... I get the point that you have another cup, but why can't you just put the contents in here first, then get your water from the urn and pour it into the contents, straight onto the contents. Now, Rabbi Falk mentioned that he was very bothered about the moilid bit. Moilid means you're changing a solid to a liquid from your force. So when you take the force of the stream of water that hits the coffee via your action, that is transforming the solid to a liquid. He therefore was bothered about it, rather than he said then, pour the hot water into an empty cup. Then afterwards, pouring the contents into the hot water is better off, because it's not your force, it's not the stream of the force of the hot water that's doing it, it's happening on itself. That's how he understood, and he taught in Sem for decades, all our grandparents, he taught them that's the best way out to make coffee. He's like, again, you'll find, let's be clear, the other poskim, let's be very clear. As other poskim, listen, this wasn't always the case. Many other poskim said, it doesn't matter, the fact that you have contents in here, it's okay to pour the hot water directly onto the contents, that's okay. Fair enough. But I'm just mentioning that it seems to be that it is an advantage, or Rafal's point was, that by pouring the hot water first, that you save yourself from the shaila that you're pouring water directly onto the coffee granules, thereby changing it moilid, changing the solid to liquid. But then again, if some poskim are okay with it, fair enough. But this is some people don't like to put the contents in afterwards because they can't measure exactly how much they want to put in, and they don't, you know, it gets very, 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 it's very sensitive. This exactly how much sugar versus the coffee that goes in. You have to make sure exactly it's all working out. But at the end of the day, there seems to be a maila. Some other poskim say, yes, I get the point that you can't put it directly on it, but maybe tilt it and pour the hot water on the tilt. If a person wants to get, listen, we have to respect that. The fact is that Rabbi Falk for decades did teach this way, so there is an opinion out there to be machmir, to take the hot water and pour it into a clean hot water, and then after you have clean hot water into a cup, afterwards pour in the contents after. That seems to be a maila. Someone asked, why do you need the klisheni altogether? Why do you need the second cup altogether? Just have your first cup, pour in the hot water first, and then afterwards put your contents. It's not so clear because a klisheni can sometimes be mavashal things. Let's say some people put sweeteners inside which have never been cooked. You never be too sure about it, especially this new coffee that we're going to discuss in a minute. Therefore, it's always best.
The red top coffee that you've got, isn't that liquid that's due to manufacturing?
Yes, exactly. That's coming.
So it's not.
Exactly. This has already been mavashal. Since it's been mavashal, that was our question. Why do you need a second cup? Anything which has already been mavashal.
Well.
Right. But usually. Yeah, but as it is now, it's a solid, so therefore we should be able to say some. Well, we say that regarding a clearishon. You're right, that is the tshuva of Zera Emes. There's a lot to handle over here. I just want. Yeah, sang the second. So let's get straight into it. Okay, so I think we made it very clear that there seems to be an advantage. Again, however you do it, it seems however you do it, there's yesh amilisma, there's no question about that. That's not our discussion. Our discussion is that there seems to be a maila to do it this way, of pouring hot water into one cup, into another cup, then afterwards put the contents in. There's no question that however way you do it, there seems to be a maila, as long as you're not getting water directly from the urn, then obviously you're going to have shilas because of the Zera Emes, you're transferring it straight into water.
It's boiling hot, you scald your fingers.
Here is this. Okay, let's just get straight into this topic because this is what Rabbi Falk wrote a tshuva, and it made a lot of noise about 6 years ago. It was. I think we all heard about it. It was signs everywhere in the Jewish Tribune and every shul, and it went around everywhere. And every topic, every rav was giving a short shiur about this. The question is this coffee. This is a very popular Nescafe gold blend coffee, and the shtick that it has inside is that it's also got. It's got inside ground coffee. Ground coffee, just very bikitsa. When you take a regular coffee, granules, this is not the coffee bean at all. There's no shaykh of the coffee bean. They take coffee beans, they cook it, take that water, and take it somewhere else, and they freeze dry that, and then it turns into granules. This has nothing to do, it's an extract of the coffee bean. What they've done here is that 3% of it has got the regular source of the coffee bean itself, those bits of the coffee beans. And in fact, if you give me two coffees and you don't show me which one's what, I'll be able to tell you which one, when you finish the coffee, you can see what you're left with. This coffee has in it at the end, you can see a tiny little particles at the bottom. Whereas this one, there's nothing. Everything gets absorbed and everything becomes melted into water. It dissolves completely into water, 100%. So when you finish with it, you have a clean cup. That is enough commitment between the two coffees. This coffee's got 3% of ground coffee. And 3% ground coffee, you have to realize, the 3% of ground coffee will never turn edible. That is the punchline over here. When do you apply the heta of Ein B'Shalach HaBishal and you're allowed to cook something on Shabbos? Only if it's going to turn edible. This stuff is going to turn edible. It's going to melt. It's going to dissolve into the water. You have your coffee. That's fine. Ein B'Shalach HaBishal. When you have your 3%, it never turns into, it never fully dissolves. Like I say, when you finish the whole cup, you're left with them. You can see that they never fully dissolve. Obviously, you'll drink it because it's a minute amount. Turkish coffee is actually the 3% in 100%. It's exactly the whole thing. So Turkish coffee is the full whack of the 100% of, there you go. Anyone knows Turkish coffee, there's a whole khush how to do it. You tilt it, there's a whole zach how to do it, right? They used to drink the actual Turkish coffee itself, but now, no, they let it to sink.
There isn't Turkish.
Yeah.
We need very, very hot water.
Yes, yes. But they don't drink. They don't drink the bottom beer. They leave even. They don't even in Turkey. They don't drink the bottom beer. That taka doesn't get drunk. Then you can't apply the rule of Ein Bishul Lacha Bishul. That's where the whole shaila begins. And therefore, here's the chiddush. Here's the chiddush. Even in a kli shlishi, that's the chiddush. You shouldn't be able to put this inside. Well, that was Rebbe Felt's point. Because regarding the 3%, just like your Turkish coffee, you can't put in a kli shlishi, because kli shlishi could be mevashel, something which is very, very kali abishal. By the way, we have to throw in Reb Moshe Feinstein's opinion. It's not fair to just say the shita of the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan that says it's Issa. We have to mention that Igros Moshe did hold that a kli shlishi cannot be mevashel. We all know that song from A.B. Rottenberg. There ain't no bishul in the kli shlishi. You've got to hear it because it's very, very interesting as he said this in that song. But he obviously just makes no mention of the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan shita that holds as deraisa. He just mentions the Reb Moshe Feinstein that holds is absolutely okay to take a. They're actually talking about, in the context, they're talking about a tea bag. Taking a tea bag is the same story. It doesn't, the granules inside, the tea leaves, don't actually turn, they don't dissolve into the water. Okay, you take it out. So there, you don't apply the rule of Ein Bishul Lacha Bishul, even if it's roasted before. You say that a kli shlishi could be mevashel. Reb Moshe said, nah, kli shlishi can't be mevashel. That's where it comes in there. You'll find in America, even in American institutions, I believe that the OU also don't rely on this Reb Moshe, and they also recommend not to use a tea bag on Shabbos, even in a kli shlishi. You will find some people using this het of Reb Moshe, but the overwhelming majority of poskim take on that you can't use a tea bag on Shabbos. You've heard on Shabbos. Now, you're right, you've got schita. That's also very important to remember. By the way, on Yom Tov, people think that, you know, you can make tea bags, no problem. But schita, you also have to make sure you're not squeezing the tea bag on the side, because schita is not het on Yom Tov. By the way, Yom Tov has got a het of bishul, but there's no het of schita. So therefore, when it comes to a person who wants to squeeze the tea bag on the side of the cup, that's certainly not one of the terim given on Yom Tov. It's also very important to remember on Yom Tov that if you're making a tea, that you don't squeeze the tea bag on the side, because schita is not one of the terim given on Yom Tov. We also mentioned, obviously, we always mention before Yom Tov that a lot of times the tea bags are in pairs. One tea bag, you have to detach one tea bag by the perforation over there, so you're tearing one tea bag from the next. On Yom Tov, there's a heta of bishul, but there's no heta of korea. You can't start switching on the light on Shabbos, all these other things on Shabbos, so on Yom Tov. So therefore, when it comes to Yom Tov, you always have to make sure schita and korea is also dealt with. Our point is that on Shabbos, can you use a tea bag regarding bishul? Mishnah Berurah seems to hold that it comes to a bishul, even in a kli shlishi would be a problem, whereas the Reb Moshe held it's okay. The Maisa, overwhelming majority, tell us to try and make sure to avoid tea bags, and therefore the Turkish coffee in a kli shlishi is the same story, and therefore some poskim held that this should be the same story, even in a kli shlishi. The Maisa, when it comes to a lot of poskim, wants to say regarding this actual coffee, they were makel because of many, many terufim. We have even from the big machmirim, Moshe Shaul Klein came to town many years ago, and also there were notes in the Hokel. Even from the big machmirim, you do find, I believe that the Badats didn't have an issue with it. So you'll find a lot of poskim who didn't have an issue with it. But there again, if a person's got two coffees, and for him it doesn't make a difference, there could be a mila to get this over this, because at the end of the day, the Mishnah Berurah is nota to this. There is a chasam sofer out there that does hold that there's a bit of an issue on it. Just go on.
If he put it on Friday.
Yeah.
5-6 tea bags and put them in the coffee.
Very good. That's what you mentioned before. That if you do before Shabbos, you
cannot use them.
Sure. So if you do before Shabbos, if you arrange it before Shabbos and it cools down, that could be okay. That's a very good data. That's certainly if you do before Shabbos, that would be a very good data. By the way, I don't know. Some people have. I'm not going to the kashrus point of view, but some people would have this Cadbury chocolate. So what you do is you take the Cadbury chocolate, you take cocoa, and you take this powder, you pour it into a cup, and then you typically what you'll do is pour a little bit of hot water, mix it together, and then add your milk, ideally warm milk or milk, and you make your way with that. Very interesting that when you pour a little bit of hot water onto this chocolate, you end up making a paste, if you think about it. That's really what happens. You make a paste, and then afterwards you add in your milk. The paste can flag up over here, and got a bit of a problem of losh. Because really what you're doing is you're taking this powder, you put a little bit of hot water, you mix it, and it also becomes a bit lumpy and everything, and you give it a mix, and you maybe add a little bit more hot water, And that's how you make your paste, and afterwards you put your milk in. Some Pesachim say, at the time that you're, where you're standing, before you pour in the milk, you might have a problem of losh. Therefore, it's important to make sure that you get around losh by either pouring a lot of hot water versus the little bit of powder, or somehow getting around losh and making sure there's no issue of losh. Can you take cereal, be it shreddies or frosties, and can you crush it on Shabbos? Let's say some people like to have crushed shreddies or let's say corn flakes or Rice Krispies. They like to crush it. Have you ever seen some people, they crush it, have a minute to crush it every day? I don't know. Okay, no, you haven't seen that. So it's part of the niceness to crush it with your teeth. But is there a shaila of crushing? Teuchen, is there, potentially there should be a problem of teuchen because you're grinding. But grinding, there's a halacha of ein teuchen acha teuchen. Once it's already been ground before and remade into your shreddies or anything or frosties, that, then there's no issue of teuchen again. So that really, there's no problem of crushing it. But there is a problem, a lot of people who pour a little bit of milk, right, especially the end of, you know, sometimes the end of a box. End of a box of Frosties, where some children, that's the favorite amount, the favorite time that they get the last bit, which has got the most sugar in. You put a little bit of milk in. There's a bit of a problem of, again, it could be a problem of losh. You have to always make sure you're putting in a bit more milk than you usually, so that the overall mixture is not like a paste. Oh, here is the next issue of Weetabix. Can you make a Weetabix for your children or not? You know, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, it comes to the Shlishis, and you're not sure if you fill them up or not enough. Can you make a Weetabix bowl? You know, you put Weetabix out there. They never end up eating it. It just ends up being symbolic that you've sort of made a few Weetabix. At the end of the day, half an hour later, you come back and you see these moldy old Weetabix all joined together. You have to know the uniqueness of Weetabix over the other cereals is that when you take shreddies or frosties and you pour water on it, they don't cling to each other. They don't normally cling to each other unless they're grounded. Whereas when it comes to Weetabix, the teva Weetabix is that it naturally blends and grounds, it joins all together. That's why the person a bit worries about Weetabix. Therefore, they recommend, Rabbi Falco always used to mention, to say, to point number one is, the main point is to make sure you're putting in a lot of milk. You can't be cowed on milk when it comes to Shabbos. Therefore, pour in a lot of milk, fill up the bowl, and then after you fill up the bowl with milk, then you put in a Weetabix. Then you've done two things. Number one is that you put in a lot of milk. You're assuring that you're going to have an overall Belila Raka. It's not going to be a Belila Ova, because you want to make sure it's Belila Raka. And the second point is that you've changed the order. You first put in the milk and then put in the Weetabix. Usually you do the reverse. That seems to be a quite clean heta when it comes to Losh. I've asked them many times about this. I've been very worried about it, because a lot of times you make Weetabix and you put in a lot of milk, and then after half an hour, it will still absorb. He always said that you go boss at the time that you intend to eat it, and therefore for the time that you intend to eat it, it would still be a belila raka, that should be okay. He was very confident about that, and he wrote in his last chelik of Machzor Eliyahu, he also mentions this point. Therefore, he was quite confident about to say it's okay. Shkoyach.